to the Lord one more time. God, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. Let your spirit continue to permeate this place. Have your way, God, in the name of Jesus. Every home, every family that's represented in this place on today. Oh, God, pour out of your spirit. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord hand praise as you take your seat. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. I'm like the writer said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. And here we are in the house of the Lord today. Praise God. I guess it's not a secret or a news flash that today is baptismal day. And it's a special place in my heart because there hasn't been a baptismal service in 3Ps since before COVID. A lot of things changed during that time. But praise God, here we are still standing because Jesus is our healer. He is our portion. He is more than enough. And here we are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus on this day by the grace and mercy of God. I praise God today. I'm excited for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Honor and respect to all of the saints that's in the sanctuary, those that are sitting in the overflow right now, and those that are online. We just thank God. Amen. We just thank God for being in his presence one more time. Amen. Now, how many times have y'all heard the preacher say, we ain't going to be long? Well, we sure mean it today because we got a lot to cover. But I want to take you back to Samaria. I want to take you back to around A.D. 35 or such over in there where there was a lot going on. Praise God. How many know it's a lot going on in our world today? We see a lot of crazy stuff. Am I right about it? We see a lot of sinful and hateful things happening. But I want to know, how many of us see the hand of God moving in this time that we're living in, seeing the power of God moving, seeing lives being changed and transformed, amen, in 2025. And so we give God all the glory, honor, and praise. So I want to take you to Acts chapter 8. We're going to start looking at verse 26. It's a lot of nuggets in here. Lord willing, Lord help me, we'll pull some of these things out. Amen. I think it's very appropriate, Evangelist Linda, for today. I'm so glad to see this sister. We worshiped together over in Monrovia for years. Amen, amen. And we always would encourage one another. Praise the Lord. And I just thank the Lord for that. Amen, amen. So you have your Bibles. It's on the screen. If you have your Bibles or your tablets or your phone, let's look at a couple of things here. We're going to look at chapter 8, verse 26 through, I think, around 34, 36 over in there. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Well, that's a message within itself because God is still speaking to people today. God spoke to Philip, the evangelist. God spoke to Philip, the deacon. He's one of those who were called back in Acts chapter 6, where the apostles say, you know what? We need someone to handle the affairs of the church while we preach the gospel. And so it was told to find seven men full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, and one of them was Philip. Another one was Stephen, and some of us know the lives that those men lived. So Philip had been in Samaria, that area where most Jews were reluctant to go through, go down to, because they had some prejudices in their heart from things that happened way back in the day. But here in the midst of revival, in the midst of, matter of fact, watch this. I'm going to go back to verse 4 real quick to talk about Philip, and we're going to roll on here. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. It's important for us to preach the word. Then Philip, the same Philip we're going to talk about just a few verses down, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Keep that in your heart and your mind. He preached Christ to them. And the multitudes, the many people, with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. We just heard the song said there's nothing impossible for him. We heard that he is our healer and he's our portion. Verse 7 said, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed and who were paralyzed and lame, they were healed. Philip the deacon, Philip the evangelist, Philip the one who's called by God to speak for him, the Philip who said, one day, Jesus, come into my life. It's power in the name of Jesus. Okay, for the unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out, and many, many who were possessed and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was, listen to this, great joy in that city. Now, you know, when the revival is going on, when the spirit is high, you're not looking to leave. You can sit right there for a while. You can stand right there for a few days. Lord, just keep on doing. Just keep on speaking, God. Just keep on moving. But see, God always have a plan. And so, and the angel, back to verse 26, now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, arise. Okay, I know you're in revival, see. And I know that there's a lot of things been happening, but I want you to arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Anybody heard of Gaza lately? I believe so. All right, go down to Gaza, which is what? The desert. Wait a minute, God, you mean to tell me that I'm going to lead the revival where folks are shouting and rolling on the ground, demons being cast out, and go down to the devil? I mean, to the desert? Go down to the desert, just me? So he arose and went. Oh, my God. There's so many messages in this. He didn't do no. He got up and went. How important is it to get up and go when God say, get up and go? I don't want my get up and go to get up and went. That's another story. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. Man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, or someone's Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. A eunuch, a man who's been castrated, a man who has some clout, who's sometimes placed over a harem of women, who's been castrated or an animal or neutered so that he cannot procreate and have his own dynasty, he's subject now to the king or queen who's in charge. And so he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had charge, listen, this man had some clout, had charge of all her treasury. This man, this Ethiopian, he was in charge of all the money. And had come to Jerusalem to worship. This is important because he was not a Jew, he was a proselyte. He was a Gentile who had embraced the God of Israel, who would find himself, as so many others, in their pilgrimage, going back to Jerusalem to worship Yahweh, to worship El Shaddai, God Almighty. Even though he could not make it into the temple, but he was probably satisfied to be in the Gentile court, just to be close to the house of the Lord. This Ethiopian, he was somebody, like we all are somebody. I know we're somebody because God don't make no junk. Amen. I don't care what the situation may look like. Amen. We're the apple of God's eye. And so he was returning from Jerusalem, and sitting in his chariot, he wasn't driving. This is the man of clout. Somebody else is driving. He kind of kicking back in the, he might have been had a little lean to, I don't know. He was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. That's, before I forget, there's three things we're going to see in these passages. Like I say, we're going to get up out of here in a minute. the Word of God. We're going to see the power of the Word of God. We're already seeing the move of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit said, Philip, get up and go down to the desert. I got to have a mission for you. And so the Word of God, thank you, God, the Spirit of God, and the man of God, or the woman of God, who will take God's word and take God for what he says and go and do what God say do, and will share that with somebody. How many know people today need a word from the Lord? All this mayhem and chaos we see, there's a whole lot of folks in the situation they're in because they have not heard the Word of God. And we're carrying the Word of God as people of God. Scriptures say, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who carry the gospel of peace, not the gospel of violence, not the gospel of retribution, but the gospel of peace. All right, so he was reading Isaiah the prophet. This is pretty important, too, now. What did I say? This is around AD 35, maybe? Well, Isaiah was prophesying 700 years before Jesus came on the scene. God's word stands the test of time. If God said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. God's word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart, and everything lay open and naked before him whom we have to give an account. How many know that's true today? Ain't nothing hid from him. So I'm going to get away with this, God say, really? But, and it's not with a big stick. God loves us. All right. So he's reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, it's important to listen to the Spirit of God. It's so easy to listen to all these different news commentaries, all the chatter on TikTok and everything else. But I want to have a listening ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Okay, y'all work with me for a minute because my mind kind of goes all over the place. I'm picturing the chariot being pulled by horses, and the Ethiopian eunuch is sitting up in the chariot, and Philip is walking. God said, go catch up with the chariot. Andrew, I don't know, but God said it. So let me get on the good foot. Yeah. So the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip, listen to this, ran. Is that what it say? So Philip ran to him. How many know God will give you supernatural strength? Have you ever got weak in your body? Oh, let me take one deeper. Have you ever got weak in your spirit? But he's the lifter of our head. Oh, Lord, you, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Then the Spirit said to Philip, okay, so Philip ran to him, and he heard something. Have anybody ever been, you could be, I don't care if you at Dodger Stadium, you at the Rose Bowl Parade. If somebody mentions something about the Word of God, you get elephant ears. Yeah. What? somebody said Jesus is Lord. What did you say? Up in the bleachers, hallelujah. What? All right, So Philip ran, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, the eagle-eyed prophet, and he said to the man, he'd caught up with him now. I can imagine the chariot still going. He running. You understand what you're reading? What? You look like you said, how you know I was reading something? who told you that? Now, you know he wasn't reading nothing like this. He probably had a scroll. See? Sometimes the word just gets good. It gets comical. It gets deep. It gets it. It's enlightening. It meets us where we are today. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Listen, this is important now. Because now here, this man who has been running a revival, the power of God is all over him. The Spirit of God is leading him and sent him down to the desert to catch up with a man in a chariot and an entourage." So he says, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I?" I hear some honesty here. I hear, Sister Patricia, someone longing to be closer to the Lord. He's trying to read something. He's reading something, but it's not quite making sense to him. Anybody ever been there? Have you ever been reading in your Bible and you say, "I don't get this"? And God will keep you right there for a day, a week, a month, trying to get understanding from the Holy Spirit of what God is saying in his word and what he's saying in his word to you. "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And listen, and he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. I imagine Philip saying, "I'm glad this conversation is over. You know, let me in the chariot," swinging the door. He gets in there. The man of God gets in there now. Oh, my God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He give power to the faith. So he said, "How can I?" Okay. And here's what he was reading. The place in the scripture which is read was this. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter." The man just come from Jerusalem, that made his way down through Samaria, headed on back to Ethiopia, but he still got a question in his mind. It read, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." He's reading this. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, the eunuch said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this?" Is he talking, is Isaiah talking about himself? Of some other man? That's a valid question. And for every question we have, God's got an answer. And I don't believe, Mother Jesse, he just, that's where Philip caught him in those two verses of 7 and 8. But I believe he had been reading Tyrone for a while. Like, for instance, in that same chapter of Isaiah 53, "Who have believed our report? And to whom have the arm of the Lord been revealed?" He may have kept on reading a little bit before Philip caught up with him, and he read the part where it said he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Woo. You know, God has a way of creating a hunger in you, a thirst in you for him that nothing can fill but the Spirit of God. Alcohol won't do it. Drugs won't do it. Nothing will do it. Nothing will fill that void in our lives but the Spirit of God. Can I get a witness? Can I borrow? Amen. I will pay you back. Oh, thank you, God. And listen, here's where it really gets good to me. Because we got all kind of stuff in our mind, what people need to do, what they don't need to do, what they should wear, what they shouldn't wear, where to go, where they shouldn't go. Get out of here and stay out. God don't need no help. You know, don't let me lose y'all now. You know, we come down off our high horses sometimes and watch God work in someone's life. Watch the Spirit of God who called them, will also build them up. So, all right, to my point here, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning in the scripture. See, a whole lot of time folks out there preaching without using the word. They preaching all kind of stuff. what do the words say? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the scripture, preach Jesus to him from the scriptures. See, the everybody who had any knowledge of God were looking for the Messiah to come. All the way back in Genesis day, the promises of God are yes and amen. The promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it don't care what your situation is, God has a place for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to walk with you in the cool of the day. Here's a man who can't have any children, who's been castrated, who's working a servant under the queen of Ethiopia, but he had a need in his heart. So no matter what our situation is, God knows where we are, and he will fix it. He will fill it every time. Yes, he will. Somebody said, I came to Jesus just as I was. Woo, weary, wounded, and sad. But I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I got to get out of here. Watch this. So he opened his mouth and began at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, Philip is kicking back, preaching on mission in the chariot. I'm sure there's a whole lot of other people in the entourage, but this message is for Philip and the eunuch. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your trouble. He'll hear your faintest cry, and he'll answer by and by. Say, when you hear a little prayer, we'll turn it. You know that the fire is burning. Have a little talk with Jesus, and he'll make it all right. That ain't just a song. That's real. I don't care what you're going through. You need to stop and say, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, fix it, God. Jesus, touch me one more time. And as he went down the road, they came to some water. Thank you, God. And the eunuch said, this is where the message come in. Take me to the water. That's why we're here today on this particular day. Look, let's go to the water. But some things had to happen that brought him to this point. It's some blanks been filled in now. He's no longer out. He's in. We're going to hear what he has to say about it, see. When Jesus was crucified and gave up the ghost, the veil in the temple was torn asunder, saying no longer do man have to go to see the priest, but man can come boldly to the throne of grace that he might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. How many know it's the time of need right now? Wow. So as they went down the road, they came to some water in the desert. I'm sorry, y'all just got to help me. Because everything I seen on Gunsmoke or whatever on the desert, ain't no water out there. It's some mirages. The guy dumping in that number sand. You know? But the God who spoke the universe into existence, the God who said he's the water of life, Jesus told a woman at the well, if you drink of this water I have, you will never thirst again. But it'll be within you a well of water springing up in the everlasting life. It's some springing going on right here in this passage. Now as they went down the road and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, now remember, listen, let's just keep it straight here. What had been happening over the last few minutes? Philip was preaching Jesus to him from the scriptures. In 35 A.D., fulfilling what Isaiah spoke about 700 years before, and the power of God is in his word, conviction have come upon this man's heart, and he's heard the word, and he's responding, right? Because, you know, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, when you heard the word of God, the gospel of your salvation, what? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See? Look what the man say. See, now look, you know, I'm from South Central by way of Oklahoma. So when I read this, when I say see, here is water, I say, in my mind, I'm hearing, look here. Yeah, look here. There's some water, see? Oh, my God. Okay, they came to about you and said, see, here's some water. What hinders me from being baptized? What hinders me now? God is already, Pastor John, turn the light on. What hinders me? What's going to keep me? What's going to forbid me from being baptized in this water in the middle of the desert? And this preacher sitting next to me and answered my questions. Where's the water? He may have heard that John the Baptist baptized Jesus. See, he may have heard there was a whole lot of things going on in the way in the church. And now he's a part of it. He's made up his mind. The old song used to say, it takes a well-made up mind to serve the Lord. Wow. All right. Okay, let me wrap this up. What hinders me from being baptized? Verse 37. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart. He didn't say with all your head. With all of your issues, with all of your thoughts. He said, if you believe in your heart, don't that sound like Romans 10:9-10? Yeah. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Thank you, Lord. I imagine the eunuch, he's getting the Holy Ghost tingling right about now. He said, preacher, there's some water. And the preacher said, all right, yeah, there's some water. But if you believe with all your heart, thank you, God. Amen. Anybody in here have believed with all your heart that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, listen to this. Oh, this is so powerful. Somebody may say that today. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Any believers in here today? Is there anybody in the house today that believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Even a Roman soldier, when Jesus was dying on the cross and the earthquake was shaking and the sky got dark and the temple, the curtain that tore down, and the Roman soldier with his shield and with his spear, he said, surely this was the Son of God. This don't just happen with your average crucifixion around here. Something is happening different around here. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what baptism is all about. Yeah, that's the question we'll be asked today. You know, why are you here to be baptized? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that he has saved you from your sins? Do you believe that he, I ain't going to say all that, but it's in my heart, that he's written your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you believe that? See, thank you, God. All right. So verse 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Do it sound like the eunuch has some authority? He didn't probably have to say woe to the horses. He said, make it stop. And whoever was driving, because the boss said stop. The one who said whoa may not have heard the message. But the eunuch heard the message. And he said, pull over. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And listen to this. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. And he baptized him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God. I was going to stop there, but we may well finish two more verses. Now, when they came up out of the water, yeah. Brother House, when they came up out of the water, when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. A couple of things here. Philip ran and caught up with the chariot, having dialogue with the eunuch. They go into the water in Jesus' name. come up, and Philip is gone. Now, ain't too many places to hide in the desert. You know, I could say, what's behind that sagebrush? No, Philip was gone, taken up. And history, tradition says that that Ethiopian went back and started a big church in Ethiopia. Wow. He went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing because Philip was gone and he was saved and delivered. Listen to this. I told you that Philip was gone, right? Listen to this. Last verse. But Philip was found as Azotus. I don't know how many miles away that was. Is there anything too hard for God? Ain't no need me trying to figure out how God did it. God took him and placed him somewhere else. Sometime in the pressures of our mind. Sometime when our emotions is all over the place. There's pain and heartache all around us. There's uncertainty, bereavement, various things. God could take us someplace else in the spirit and begin to minister to us. And Mother Maria, and give us that assurance that everything is going to be all right. Somebody today need to know that everything is going to be all right. He's heard your cry. He's heard your prayer. He's heard your petition, your supplication. And I believe he heard it with thanksgiving. Oh God, he's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. So Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So the man stayed on mission. We need to stay on mission. You know, I don't want to be a Sunday Christian. I don't want to be a CME Christian. What's that? Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. You know, I want to, come on in, Sister Mary, Brother Larry. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. So we thank the Lord for his word today. We thank God for all that the Lord has done and all that he's doing. I pray today that maybe someone, whether here, there, or in Gaza on the desert, have had a determination to know Jesus. To maybe have heard something that will cause them to change their way of life. Knowing that only Jesus can do it. Somebody may be listening that's tired of being sick and tired. Somebody may be listening, they don't know how to make it. What's going to happen if I give my life to Jesus? What is tomorrow going to look like? Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow got enough issues of its own. But today is the day of salvation. So if there's anybody in the house of the Lord in this particular building today, whether it's here in the overflow, if you want to give your life to Jesus today, you might be asking that same question, where's the water? You know, what hinders me from being baptized? Baptismal is the outward expression or what's taking place on the inside. It's identifying with the body of Christ. Dead to this old world, risen in Christ. Resurrected, new life in Jesus Christ. So is there one today you want to give your life to Jesus? Or if there's anyone before we head out for baptismal that you're in special need of prayer, you've been in fellowship today, you've been in praise and worship, you're hearing the word, you're in koinonia, you're in fellowship here in the house of the Lord. Is there anybody, if you're in the overflow and you need prayer, I would suggest that you make your way to the sanctuary that we might pray for you. You know, I've seen so many people in prison come to Jesus. I've seen more folks in prison come to Jesus than in 40 years of preaching in the church. Why? Because those inmates, a lot of them had got to the end of their rope. They had nothing. And they heard a Philip or a Philipette come in and talk to them about this Jesus. And we go into that prison, and I got witnesses here, Evangelist Dolores, the teacher back there, Sister Maria, Sister Patricia. Them women cannot hear prayer in Chino Women's Prison without crying. They can't hear the scripture without just lay it out before God. And some of them are doing life without parole. And they have fallen in love with this Jesus. So if there's anyone today that needs prayer, raise your hand. And if not, we're going to pray over each one of us. And we're going to close out. Sister Sandy has robes for all of those who are going to be baptized. We're going to traverse through the overflow into the kids' corner. So they already have it set up to where as we're walking out, you'll get your robe, we'll line up, and then we'll have further instructions as we get outside. I want to thank the Lord for everyone that's here on today, those who are part of 3-Piece Christian Ministries, and everybody's a part, whether you have another fellowship or because we're all the body of Christ. We thank God for you being here in the house of the Lord today, those who are here to encourage their loved ones. What a blessing it is. I believe there's going to be some testimonies today. I believe there's going to be a move of God because somebody's grateful today. Somebody's so thankful for what God has done in your life. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. We lift your name on high. You're worthy to be praised. Father, I pray your choicest blessings on all of your precious people on today, that you would bless in a very special way. Meet the need, Lord, in someone's life on today. Someone may have put some of their prayers or dreams or visions on the back burner, put them on the shelf, in the closet, and closed the door. God, give them to open the door. Take those petitions out and lay them at the foot of Jesus. We thank you on today. So, Father, be glorified in everything we say and do. As this baptismal ceremony starts, bless us, Father, with your spirit, with your presence, in Jesus' name. And the church said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.